It's time for Golf DMV, highlighting golf in D.C., Maryland, Virginia, and anywhere else they travel. If you love golf and like to laugh, Golf DMV is your place. This ain't your stuffy, snobby, boring golf show. It's Golf DMV.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another edition of Golf DMV, brought to you in part by Cache Spine Sports, conveniently located right off the Capitol Beltway in Silver Spring, Maryland. You got to get your back right, got to get your neck right. Please see Dr. Smith. By the way, we still haven't got a wedding update. Something's telling me that she's not, like, she was just joking when she said she would invite us to the wedding and allow us to broadcast live at the reception. I think she was lying about that because she hasn't even mentioned the wedding since we talked to her about this and did the interview. But don't worry, people. If we find out what day and location, we're just going to show up and do it one way or the other. Because listen, LB, she's like family now, right?
I mean, yeah, she's one of us.
Exactly. And so what kind of people don't invite family to wedding? Although I guess I didn't invite everybody I'm related to. Let's not even talk about that. That's getting into family drama. Very special show today, ladies and gentlemen. It's always special because LB and Vern's in the house. But we've got my man, Coach Lou Howard. You've heard about him on previous podcasts. Every time I'm around the dude, I turn up. Vern actually brought this up. He said, Claude, you kind of turn into a different dude when Coach Howard's around. And I admit, I think I do. It's something about his energy. I think it's New York. I don't know what it is. Something about his energy that just makes me turn up a little bit. So this is going to be an interesting show. Coach, what up?
Yo, what's the deal, kid? Thanks for having me on, man. Appreciate you guys for getting me on.
No, thank you for blessing us with your presence, man. We got a lot to Absolutely. Talk about. He's going to hang out with us for the whole show. We got PGA stuff to talk about as far as Kevin and I winning the Sony Open. We've got and also going to talk a little bit about this whole meltdown that it seemed like Brandon Steele had. And Vern's got one of these very intriguing questions for us that we'll get to a little bit later in the show. But first we want to, like I said, we've talked about you a lot on the show, Coach. Want to introduce people to you a little bit here. You coach at Oxon Hill, coach basketball, and also golf. I wasn't aware that Oxon Hill had a golf team.
Well, I am currently the head basketball coach at Oxon Hill High School. I was the basketball coach at Largo High School for 17 years, and right. That's where I actually met Vern and Rusty and the crew almost 20 some odd years ago. And I currently still work. I teach at Largo High School. Nice. And I'm the head golf coach at Largo High School.
Oh, sweet. Oh, sweet. Okay. So I thought it was, nice. Okay. So, let's get into it a little bit. So you coach basketball, you coach golf. Do you see any similarities between the psychological aspect as a coach and how you get your players motivated to play both sports? Any similarities and what are some of the differences?
Well, golf's a totally individual sport, and that's in all realms. It's totally individual, and basketball is team. So basketball is together. We're going to get everybody on the same page, selfishness, right. and move those things away. Golf is – I got to focus in on that next shot, my lie, what the other opponent could be doing, but not necessarily from a team perspective.
In that way, Coach, is it easier or harder? Because with the team part, you do have to manage like egos and you have to get people to fall back and get into the team part. Is it easier or is it just different when you're dealing with an individual where it's just like, hey, there's no – because even the other golfers, you can tell them not to worry about them. It's really all on you. It's what you do.
Absolutely. And that's what separates a lot. I was watching the Tiger – show Tiger 2 last night and just the mental that he has for the level of excellence he has been able to show for over 20 years, most of our lifetimes at this point, but teaching the young mind to be able to sustain that measure of focus from from tee to green. Yeah. And then it's the consistency piece. You don't got a whole lot of kids that are going saying, hey, let me get a ride to the golf course because I got golf practice.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So right. as you would to the gym. You know what I'm saying? Hey, right. let me take Mike, Johnny, and Brent over to the community center. They can hook up and play 5-on-5. You know what I'm saying? So it's a little different when you're saying, hey, let's take my golf clubs and can I get a ride to the course? Can I get a ride to Oak Creek? Or can I get a ride to Enterprise? So it's a full commitment from parent early on, and then seeing it through with that measure of consistency all the way to hopefully when they have an opportunity to compete at the high school level and then matriculating to the college level as well.
You talked about that commitment early on. Talk a little bit about how you got in golf. Did you start playing golf when you were, you know, when you were in high school and things like that? Or was that post like high school and all that jazz?
Post high school, post college. Mm-hmm. I didn't start playing until I was actually about 36 years old. And I always thought golf was corny. And, you know, being from growing up in New York, I was just like, yo, golf is corny. I don't want to do that. It's a bunch of people that don't look like me out there playing. And, you know, you're chasing this white ball. And then, you know, obviously later in life, stages of life that we all go through and changes and things and what have you, it's become the most comforting thing for me to be able to come out, hang out with my guys. Mm-hmm. Have a tea in the morning that my man promises us with. You know, have a tea and just relax and hit my ball. And it has become addictive.
By the way, that tea and that cider in the morning that Vern provides, I lobbied hard for you to get some because you do remember there was a round where we played. Man, he didn't bring you any.
And I was, you know, now I'm on the list. I think you've been bumped down a little bit too.
Well, I'm actually, no, you're right. And so there was two things I lobbied for. I said, you know, you got to stop bringing Coach some of this side, number one. Right. And you got to stop making him like the 13th person you call when you try to get a tea time. Like, you got to move him. Because there's some dudes we play with that I'd rather he call you first, but I don't book the tea time. I just show up.
I can dig it. I understand, you know, the Saturday thing, obviously due to the pandemic and the stuff that's going on, we've got a lot more time on our hands. So when Vern makes the call, he makes the call usually on like a Tuesday, Saturday, I can get that all day long. Right. You know, I wasn't in his A group. And I was a little upset about that because my score does not reflect me not being in A group.
Oh, here we go. There we go.
I should be in the A group.
If the scores reflected, I wouldn't be in the A group for sure. In A group.
That's true. I wouldn't be in my own group. Yeah.
There you go. Man. So, Coach, you know, it's so funny because, you know, you have, you know, just different personalities and stuff when people get together and play and you know, you get to know people and stuff. And one of the funny things about when I first started playing with you was, you know, you always want to know, is there any action going on with this round before we start? Like, the first thing you ask is, yo, what's happening with this game? I just want to know where we at.
What we doing? I just need to know. I need to know what we doing. We playing straight up, you know, lift, clean, and place. Something on the line, 5-5-5, Nassau, playing overall score. What we doing? I just need to know so I know how to program myself. My musical selection, my cigar selection. I need to know how I got to get everything going for the entire round.
Exactly. So you know, when it comes to a little bit of action, you know, in your rounds, I'm assuming, you know, that's something that you do, it seems like, if your group's doing it.
If your group's doing it. Okay. If your group's doing it. And, most people that I play with now, they, you know, something's going on.
Okay. Okay. Go ahead, Vern.
I was going to say there was a shared lingo, too, amongst people who know, because when I don't think you were there, Claude, when I had Lou and Damon play at 1757, and Glenn, as soon as Lou asked what's going on, Damon was like, one per hole, no carryovers. He immediately jumped into it. like the two, I mean, they played together before, but not often. But
right. That's the question. It's a general question. Yeah. If it's something you want to do, it makes it a little more competitive.
It does. I like it.
As well, and it gets you focused and dialed in, and, you know, you just want to try to hit your ball as well as you possibly can.
You've got to have some funny gambling stories on the course.
Well, not a whole lot. Okay. Not a whole lot, because a lot of people don't want to gamble. So, you know, Thanksgiving, we played on Thanksgiving this year at Oak Creek. It was 20 guys. We had 20 guys. Everybody had to put a $25, it was a $25 skin pot. I don't know, what was that, $580, something like that, 20 times 25, it was like five something.
Yeah.
So each birdies are the only thing that stood up. Nobody had any eagles. You remember Thanksgiving, it was almost 70 degrees that morning. And we started off at 9:45, we finished about 2:30. I got a birdie. I got a birdie on number 12 at Oak Creek, and had a great shot in. It was 165 yards. And number 12 at Oak Creek is the only hole in one I've ever had. I've only had one hole in one.
Okay.
And I didn't have it that day, but I had it a few years ago.
Mm-hmm. But it can be said that you played that hole well, though. So when you stepped up to the tee box, you were still hella confident.
I'm like, okay, I know what it is. I'm either going to play a 7-iron or a slight 8-iron. Because the pin was in the front this day, so I hit a light 8-iron off the hill. If you know Oak Creek, you know that number 12's got the hill, and it'll roll down and trickle down. It's a par 3, so it'll trickle down. I hit a good shot, and I got the birdie. The birdie was worth $82.
Nice. So
I only got one, but that was worth $82. So that was
pretty good.
That was a good day.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So what did you you mentioned Oak Creek a couple of times. What are your favorite courses to play in the area?
I'll play anywhere. Play anywhere. I love to play Renditions. Renditions is a great course. Most ones that we play around here, Renditions, University of Maryland, Oak Creek, Enterprise, of course. Enterprise is where we practice. So that's like almost like the home course.
Sure.
You mean like the Largo Golf Team practices?
For the golf team. Yeah.
Correct.
I got you.
Largo
Golf
Team practices there. And just traveling all over, anywhere I'm going, my clubs can, I got a bag.
So anywhere you're invited, you'll be there, right? Like the time we played out at, what's that place? Raspberry Falls. You came out there and played. Yep.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, I don't have a problem with going. I love to travel. And as long as it's guys, you know, having a consistent group of guys that you play with, where you know their games, and golf is a gentleman's game. Whereas everybody, we know each other. Like, we know Vern's never going to be on time. Probably like 15 minutes before. You know, all there. I'm coming in hot. And then we're like, oh, man, it's fine. You know, I don't expect Vern to be early. Claude's going to call the day before whether he's coming or not. LB doesn't remember what I look like half the time. He'll walk right by me and won't say nothing.
Well, you walk past me, too. Don't get it twisted now.
So, you know, and just knowing your guys.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So, and everybody, you got, like you said, most people have like a A group, a B group, a C group, because everybody's doing different things, and planning is important when you're going out and everybody's got other responsibilities, family-wise, children, dogs, cats, whatever you're doing. Those responsibilities that you got to let, you know, my wife would know that I'm going to play on Saturday morning at 9, and who are you playing with? You know, that's a question. Oh, I'm going with Vern. And then she'll ask me, is Rusty playing? He's supposed to.
Not if it's in Maryland.
That's the question.
Or lately, not even if it's in Virginia.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's
up a couple. Gotta catch him when you can. Yeah.
That's funny. We're going to get to the Sony Open and Kevin Na's win, but right now, you know, I still haven't seen episode 1 or 2 of the Tiger documentary. I plan on catching it later this week, but I don't care about spoilers. Nothing, you know. Like, there for me, you know, nothing, like, knowing what's going to happen is a spoiler movie. It's like I talked about last week, you know, Titanic and this time was the highest grossing movie when it came out, and everybody knew how that story ended. And but you still went to go see it. There's nothing, this whole spoiler thing is weird to me. But anyway, LB, you saw part 2, correct?
No, not yet.
You didn't. Coach, you saw part 2. Okay. Yeah, now, LB, do you have the same spoiler, you know?
Not for this.
That I have. Okay. Yeah. And Vern, you good too, right?
We all good. Know, I'm good. Yeah, I want to hear about it.
Okay. Yeah, so, Coach, LB gave us the brief on part 1. Now, part 2, what goes on with it? What did you think? What was going on? What was happening?
You know, it was more of the same, more of what we already knew. It was some very, very key points. What obviously, you know, being in the climate that we're in right now, you see some of the things in I teach social studies. Let me say that.
Okay.
So, you know, sociology, African American studies. Those I teach those things at the high school level. So always, I look sometimes as a sociologist, and from the sociological point of view, dealing with the climate that we're in right now, you looked at a few pieces in there. They talked about trying to take someone down, and you know. Tiger was his own worst enemy, but he was also his own best hero. You with me? So it was like they were looking for something to tear him down at some level. Now, Tiger helped himself out things that
plenty.
There's no doubt about it. You know what I'm saying? You can't throw the blame game or anything. But what stuck out to me the most was our guy at the Masters. What's his name? The one that runs the Masters. The guy that runs the Masters.
I can't think of it. Let me look up his name real quick. No, go ahead. I'll come up with his name soon.
He runs the Masters. He's like the president of the Masters or whatever. Right.
Oh, like the club and everything?
Old Turkey Neck. We'll just call him Old Turkey Neck.
Yeah, okay. Your man. Yeah. OG, triple OG. And he made it really sound bad about what Tiger was going through when he decided not to play the Masters after that debacle in his life. So it was just crazy. Would they have done that if that person had not been of African American descent?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That was like a really, really big takeaway. The women and the women, we've been around, we've seen it come, we've seen it go.
Right.
His excellence to the game to be able to come back and play with a broken leg and win the PGA championship and just things like that. His mental fortitude unmatched. Even as he's older with diminished skills, still being able to play at a very, very high level and be dialed in and still win. It was good. Two hours and 15 minutes. It was long.
Even longer than part one.
Yes, it was.
Okay. You said part one was an hour, right, LB?
Hour and a half.
About 90 minutes. Okay.
Yeah.
He found out real quick. He found out real quick about where he stood. I mean, and this is something we all said, I think, in the community. As soon as it happened, I'm Cavalier, all that delineation and all that. That went away real quick, didn't it? When all the comments came out about, you found out where you stood.
And what's wild is, too, is, when you saw what he was going through, once he kind of ascended back and kind of came back on the scene, from what you hear, he was much more, he had much better camaraderie with other players on tour than he had before. Because it's something about when you're Tiger Part One and you're winning everything, you're the man. You know you're not sitting around having dinner with other players and other caddies and other stories about that. And he just wasn't a real friendly guy. On tour. And that's fine if you want to be that assassin, you taking everybody out and whatever. But then when you hit a low point and you need someone to have your back, those same guys aren't going to have it. And I feel like when he came back, almost, you know, God rest his soul, almost in a Kobe Bryant way, where he was that way before, then he had his issues in the Denver situation. And then, you know, when he got back in the locker room, he was much more
humility.
Exactly.
He was humble, the
value of my teammates.
Humility, you know, that certainly took over. And then looking at it, like it, the best thing I seen was when he won FedEx, the FedEx tournament that was last year when they were walking up the 18th fairway.
Right.
Winning. Yeah. I mean, that was surreal. It was kind of surreal actually for what he had been through. And then to come back, not even the scandal is life. You understand what I'm saying? We all go through things in life and we have to try to rebound and we survive the best way we can. That was his personal, and that was personal as well. So let's not talk about Dustin Johnson, who's had a problem with cocaine and the same type of same. You see what I'm saying? So
100%.
Again, he don't look the same. He don't have the same skin color. He don't have the same lineage. Okay. Mm-hmm. So he doesn't have that same mantle that Tiger did. But when Tiger was walking up that 18th green, it wasn't in Augusta, but it wasn't in Georgia where that tournament was played. And it was just amazing to see all those people following him. And he was back. Kudos to him. And again, it's a man's personal story. We all got stories here on the call. And the listeners out there, everybody's got a story, and we've all had our highs and our lows, and just even in the midst of everything that's going on, we're able to get on this call, and I'm thankful to you guys for having me on to talk about golf and just regular stuff in the midst of this pandemic and the climate that we're in right now.
Yeah,
absolutely. Absolutely. And so let's go to the PGA Tour. Kevin Na wins the Sony Open. I watched a lot of it. The final two rounds. By the way, I don't mind having, I mean, obviously with them being in the Hawaii and out of the last 2 weeks, you know, you get primetime golf. But I don't mind the late night golf, and I don't mind when they're, you know, in Europe and we get the early morning golf. I like that. You know what I mean? Yeah. And so watching some primetime golf. And Kevin Na wins again, just showing how hard it is to win on tour. I think he's been on tour for 18 years or something like 18. That. He started really young. And he's only had 5 wins. It's hard to win on tour, man. It's hard to do it. And he went through that issue where he had the yips and like would play super slow and would take a practice week and just couldn't like gather the nerve to hit the ball. And he's screaming at himself on the tee box, like, hit it. And so to see him, you know, win again, you know, was super cool. And, but I think the story really is the meltdown at the top of Brandon Steele, right? Vern, that's the story that you were focused on.
Yeah. That was one of the things I wanted to talk about. I had sucks for Brendan Steele. That's what I had. So for those who don't remember, and probably don't, cause it's been a hell of 2020 was trash. Basically the Sony Open last year, Brendan Steele came into the final round with, up 3 strokes. So started out that day up 3. When it ended, I want to say, who was it? Cameron? It was Cameron. Cameron Wake. He plays football. Anyway, so he ended.
Cameron, it wasn't Cameron Champ. It was Cameron. Other Cameron.
Cameron? Yeah, I got it. Yeah. I got it right here. So Cameron Smith. Sorry, Cam Smith. Mm-hmm. So yeah, so 2020 last year, he comes into the final round. So basically, I mean, how do you feel if you go to the same tournament 2 years in a row, coming in the fourth round? I mean, the final round ahead. And take L's both times. So last time the way it played out was Wildlife Country Club, 3-stroke lead. He shot one over that day, which left the door open. Cam Smith walked through the door, and then in the playoff he birdied, and Cam Smith birdied, and Brendan still bogeyed. So it's okay, cool. You choked that one up. It is what it is. Come in this Sunday up two strokes. Much to my chagrin, because I didn't bet on Brendan still. I bet on. Webb Simpson trash.
Yeah, okay.
And the leader from Canada, never been on Canada. I'm sorry, Canada. So let me go through. So Cam Smith beats him last year. So this year he comes up 2 up and again gives it up again. Like Claude said, started, he choked it away. I think it was on the back. On the back nine. So before I mean you guys know how it played out. Kevin Na ended up, and there was no playoff. And you know, Kevin Na ends up closing the deal. And that's twice in a row at the same course, you know what I'm saying, in the same tournament. So, and it sucks because you know you play that course well, but you just can't close. Mm-hmm. So a sidebar to that was, I asked
before you get to that question,
what's up?
But Kevin Na had the birdie that to avoid the playoff, and to me that was clutch too. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, no, he had the birdie 18. He did. You know what? The chip was the clutch. If y'all didn't see it,
yeah, the chip was.
Yeah, his approach. I think it was a par 5, right?
It's par 5. His second shot went long.
Yeah, second shot went long with the back of the green, and his third he put it within a foot. Like he's gonna, you know, they're gonna make that foot putt. Like you're absolute trash on Phil or something. But let me say Jordan. Let me not disrespect Phil. Let me say Jordan. But so sidebar to that is Bones. So on the broadcast, Bones McKay, right? Jim Bones McKay, long time a beast caddy, you know what I'm saying, on the tour. I like him. I don't know if y'all like his commentary and stuff. I like him.
Yeah, I do. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He gives me the same feel as Tony Romo, where when they ask him something, like you can hear the passion in his – he starts basically caddying for the players. They're like, oh, Jim, what should he do here? Blah, blah, blah. But the point is
– and that's what I like. I like that perspective that he brings, because he sounds like a caddy and not just an analyst. You know
exactly.
What I mean? He sounds like he's giving
you a little different voice.
Right, yeah,
he speaks very plainly. So one thing he said that surprised me that led me to the question I'm about to ask – was they asked him and said, hey, what do you tell Brendan here? It was coming up on like, I don't know, 13 or 14. Like, hey, what do you, and in my mind, because I don't know anything about golf, obviously, like if I'm a cat, I'm thinking he's going to say something like, hey, you know, just steady the ship and blah, blah, blah. He said, nah, man, I'm telling you need to make some birdies. You got to make something happen, bro. He said, you can't, he said, pars and all this laying up in the fairways, that's not going to cut it. You need to make some birdies. I was like, damn, I didn't, and that made me think, your caddy, when the relationship is really good, your caddy really has to know you well and basically kind of has to be your coach. They got to know what buttons to push. Mm-hmm. It can't just be like, well, if you just make pars, I think we'll be okay. That's not going to work. Right. So that made me think, as far as often as I played with LB and Claude, I basically asked him, I said, look, if they was caddying for me and we're in a tournament and where's some money on the line for both of us, I've been shaky all day, right? It's 3 holes to go.
and I've been scrambling to hold on to my lead. What, based on what they know about me, what does each of them say to me when we walk onto the tee box on 16? What do they say to get me to act right? What do they say to get me to clutch out the W? You know what I'm saying? Because before you answer, I just thought, I was like, man, what would I? Because I thought, what would I say? What would I say to Brendan Still or you know one of you guys or something like that? So you had time to think about that. I want to hear Claude's answer first. Like, what's up? What do you think?
So here's the thing. So you know, and Coach Howard can probably vouch for some of this. Yeah. I mean, you know, you coach. I guess you. I would have to stay true to who I am while understanding how you receive instruction. Okay. And the thing about Vern is that you don't have to play easy with Vern. Like you can go at him and it won't be personal, right? But that's not necessarily my style. And so Vern, what I would do is if you're already up and you're at 16 and you're scrambling and you're just trying to hold on, but you're already up. Obviously, right. we've been playing fine the first three rounds in a nine. Okay, right. We had a plan. I would like listen, dude. Breathe, and you need to remember the plan. You know, because I'm thinking you're already beating yourself up. So right. What I'm trying to do is get you off of you and get back focused on the plan. Like okay. we have a plan for this. You've birdied this, like whatever. I don't know what he did on 16, but it's like, yo, round one, two, and three, you birdied this. It's birdie, birdie, birdie. We do this. One, I would try to get you to focus on one shot at a time, but for the most part, try to get you off of like beating yourself up and getting that. I'm scrambling. Oh, how am I going to? And really get you just to focus back on what the plan was. Like, yo, we can win this. Okay.
Right,
get focus back on what the plan was. And let's take it one shot at a time. I mean, it's a cliche, but that's what I would do.
So take it off of the potential result because you can tell like you already exactly. Thinking about the fact that you're about to lose this thing.
Exactly. And
focus in on the joint. All right. So LB, this will be particularly.
All we can do is like when you watch football, right? And a team is down by 10 points and it's only in the fourth quarter. And I mean the first quarter. And all they do and they stop running the ball. And you're like, why did you abandon the run? Like it's way too early for that. And so it's like, no. We still have a chance. We've got three more holes to go. Like we got 16, 17, and 18. Stick to the plan. There's no need to abandon stuff. There's no need to – I'm not taking driver off the tee box anymore. Like, no, stop. Like, forget that. We're going to stick to what we knew.
Because I wouldn't do that. I would start being like, all right, you know, I'm just going to hit irons, punch
Yeah, like,
irons.
No. We're not trying to go like, no. We're not going to finesse nothing. We're not going to change anything. No. You're going to hit the shot. You're going to hit the shot.
All right.
And then maybe I put money on it. Like, I bet you $5 you're not going to hit it. And then you would.
You're not really responding.
Well, see, that's where my answer starts is with the money.
Okay.
Because I know that, at least I think I know that, whenever money is on the line, Vern turns it up a notch.
A little bit.
So I would remind Vern that his money, as well as my money as the caddy, is at stake here. And it's gonna be a lot of MFs and some Fs in my talk to you. You can't be messing up my blankety blank money. So get out here and do what you've been doing for the last three rounds, and let's take this thing home, man.
Now, you know
you can do it. I know you can do it. Just do the damn thing so we can go.
All right. Now, what's so funny before you answer, Coach? What's so funny about that is I already imagined because I know it'll be so. Well, I was like, it's gonna be something where they're gonna be looking at the telecast. I was like, oh, Jim is Brooks and Brown, are they squaring up at each other? Mm-hmm. Oh no, they are.
It looks like Brooks is berating Brown. Right? So he's about to tee off on the 16th.
Well, you know what's gonna happen when you let this hip hop culture in golf,
right? Well, no, Brown's got those Jordans on, and you know those guys are. They get rowdy.
how about you, Coach? I mean, because it's a fair question for you because you coach them up every day. You play with me enough or whatever. If I'm coming in on 16, I need to tighten up. Like where you go with it?
It's a tricky question, and you know the main thing is I probably need a new caddy because I was in the same position last year, and we didn't win, and I'm at the same position again this year. After nine, up two, scrambling a little bit.
Yeah.
Whatever he told them, or whatever I'm telling you. You still don't win because Kevin Na wins. But it's 3 years in a row. It's the same course, same tournament. You know, it's in January. The field is light. This is your best chance right now, your best opportunity to get a win. Not saying that you can't compete with everybody else. However, the field is not as deep as it normally would be at a PGA event.
But hold up. Come and stop you right there. So you putting Brendan Steele's loss on the caddy?
Well, you got to put it on somebody because after
the coach, the caddy ain't swinging the club.
But he's telling him, you know, he's telling him everything. He's looking back for confirmation. and he's going with that. You have to go with something that you think that you can trust. Uh-huh. And obviously, you know, it's the blame game at the end of the day. Sure. The right thing to say is yeah, I could have, I missed it on 17 to the right a little bit. And, you know, but in the back of his mind is that Bone said I was three paces to the left. and I was in the trap.
So, you know, like I listened back to the telecast and Bones was giving me better advice on TV than you was giving me right here on the course.
You're done. That would be trash.
Coach, but what would you tell Vern on 16?
Yeah, that was the question.
Him doing
that.
What would you tell
him? If you're my caddy.
I tell him to calm down, play his game. Just play your game. Just play your game, Vern. This is what got us here. It's no need, like you said, Claude, ain't no need to tinkering with anything else. You don't need to be trying some
nothing new
stuff. I know you can hit your 3-wood 220 and your 260 out. So if this is a short layup, go ahead and do what you do with your 3-wood.
Right.
You don't need to pull out that 4-iron that you like to hit, that cut that you like to hit. Okay, you don't need to do that right now.
Right.
You know. And at the end of the day, it falls on you. It falls on you, and that's the point about golf being a totally, totally individual sport. You can get all of the answers and all that the intel on the hole, the wind, the paces.
You still got to execute.
You can get all that. You still got to follow through. You got to hit that ball.
I do think I would be a great caddy for Vern, and I'll tell you why. Because Vern, who, and I think maybe the only person in our group, when we come up to a short par four, always encourages you to try to drive the green and will put one of my own I will put my own balls in your hand.
Golf ball.
I reach into my golf bag and I pull out a golf ball and say, you can even hit one of mine. And I don't give you a water ball. I give you my TaylorMade Project A's or Tyler's Pro V1. I say, go for it. We did it at Compass Point. We've done it at, what was the other Montgomery County?
At Rattlewood.
We do it at Rattlewood. Mm-hmm. Anywhere where there's a drive.
Like three or four times, yeah.
Yes, and I say, Vern, I don't care about the water. Go for it. And you usually hit it. You usually hit it and put it right there.
Most of the time.
For the most part, right?
He goes for it. He gets there. He either gets it or he gets really close, but then I don't know what happens after that.
Okay. So, whatever Claude had next for the rundown is.
LB, did you have any Manny Millions for this?
Yes, I did.
So, Coach, real quick, I want to explain what the Manny Millions is in case there's any, like you or anyone else who made
it. Because Coach don't listen to the podcast, so he probably has never heard Manny Millions.
Right. Listen to the show, yeah. But the Manny Millions, so I've got a son, he's 8, we call him, his name is Claude, but we call him Manny. He loves golf. He goes out there and plays a lot. And so I don't want to be the dad that puts all this pressure on him to be great and the greatest golfer ever and win all these tournaments. So we started this a couple of years ago where we said, we're going to see how much you make on the tour. If you play each tournament, you don't win them, but you make the cut and finish last. It's like, all I want you to do, son, is make the cut and finish last.
Last.
Right, exactly. Right. I don't want to put any pressure on him. It's not the best parenting skill. You know, he'll never be Tiger Woods with me doing that. But you can win almost $600,000 a year on tour if you make every cut and finish like nice dead living, last.
Play the game you like playing. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So anyway, so now we figure out, we do these numbers every week with the tournament. So LB, right. Manny Mills.
So here we go. So this week's last place winner is Mr. Jerry Kelly. He finished even. He won $13,134. Mr. Kelly is 5'11", 165 pounds, 54 years old. He's in my neighborhood. he's married with one kid. He's from Madison, Wisconsin, and he still plays from Wisconsin, not like most golfers who've moved to Florida. So here's some I'll give you his stats, and then we're and part of this too, coaches, we try and pick I'm gonna give you some stats and you got to guess what you think his career earnings is. Okay. All right, so here we go. Mr. Kelly he went pro in 1989, but he joined the PGA Tour in 1996.
Okay.
He has 3 PGA wins. He has 7 second places.
It's hard to win, Claude.
10 third place finishes. He has 91 top tens.
Ooh, that's where the money is.
91 top tens. Out of 612 events, he made 401 cuts. What is his career earnings? And this is just PGA. And he also plays on the Champions Tour now, but We just count
the PGA money. Or are you going to give me some numbers to choose
from? No, I just gave you all the numbers.
Did I win last week? I feel like I was the last.
Probably did. Yeah, it's okay. You don't have to ask. Yeah,
that's fine. His career earnings.
Yeah, his career PGA earnings.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna go. So listen, that many top 10, 91 top 10s.
That's strong.
I'm gonna go with $18 million.
Okay.
I'm gonna go a little higher. I had him about 29 okay. mil.
What's this guy's name?
Jerry Kelly.
You've seen him he's big on the Champions Tour.
Three
now.
Wins, 91 top 10s, and a bunch of cuts. Some odd
cuts made.
Yeah.
Career earnings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just as close as you can. Mm-hmm.
There's no money on this, coach. It's just for fun.
Right. Yeah, just take a guess at it. No need for a
cut. 12.5 million.
What is that?
12.5.
12.5.
12.5.
Okay. All right. So, now. This has happened a couple times now, so okay. I gotta question it. I have to question it because it's happened more than once now.
Right. Vern's right on the dollar, isn't he?
Yeah. See, Vern's $29,053,709. Wow.
Let's go.
When you place in the top 10 91 times, that's going to get you, you know, close to 20.
Yeah. I mean, even on the Champions Tour, he's been on the Champions Tour set from 2017 to 2020, played in 82 events. You know, they don't have a cut on the Champions Tour. Right.
Oh, I didn't know that.
No, they don't. And he's made $6.7 million just on the Champions Tour.
And all those guys are getting their butts kicked by Berhard Langer. I mean, he's kicking butts.
Yeah. Soon Weekly. Phil.
Weekly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Good. Well,
man, so that's pretty good. I had a couple things I want to clarify.
Okay.
And last week, I happened to listen to our show last week when I was at the range. Matter of fact, I saw Brendan at the range. Oh, let me quick story. So I went to Old Lincoln Golf Park last week. Mm-hmm. So Vern and I actually did meet Vern last week, and I picked up a Ping G400 driver.
Mm-hmm. That's fairly new. You bought one of those?
Yeah, I got one from Second Swing. I wasn't using it. I was collecting dust.
Yeah. Really? Titleist. Like, I don't know what the Titleist is. What's the Titleist driver? The Titleist driver.
You've seen that one, Coach. You've seen the Titleist driver. Coach is looking bewildered like I didn't tell him something.
Yeah.
It was a 13, a 2013 Titleist driver, whatever the DS13.
Oh, mm-hmm. I don't want the Titleist driver, but the G4. I got the Ping 5. I got the G400, the 5-wood. I had the 5-wood.
I might not want it. I don't know. I didn't know.
Let me tell you, you can get in line for it because and I got the I'm trying the TaylorMade, whatever that one is.
Right.
So I went to the range. I go to a bay and I'm hitting balls or whatever. And, you know, I'm hitting balls, and you know, you feel like somebody's watching you. And I turn around, and Brendan is just standing there watching me swing. So, fortunately, I hit a couple good ones because as soon as he left, I went to hell.
Brendan Coach is his longtime instructor. The guy's been teaching LB for a long time.
Yeah. He's the pro up at Only Golf Park. Right. So, he comes over to the clubs, and I'm telling him, I said, well, Vern had these in the basement, you know, part of his arsenal of drivers that he wasn't using. So, I'm trying some out to see which ones work, whatever. So, he take them all out. He looks at them, and he looks at the ping. He says, you're not going to be to hit that one. that's what he said. He says, he picks up the tail of him, and he said, this one you might be to hit, but you got to move the weights. He told me I needed to move the weights, and I didn't have the tools to do that. So I hit it anyway, and I hit the Titleist. Out of the three, the Titleist, I hit that one best of all of them. Okay. And he was right. I did try that Ping 400, and I couldn't do a thing with it because he said something about it being – I forget what he said, but it was going to be squirrely or something, he said.
Okay.
When I hit it, he wasn't going to go – he said, you're not going to be able to tell where that was going to go. But the Titleist actually was – out of the three was the best one. So he invited me to come up there one day and bring them, and he would put me on a launch monitor and see which we could actually test them out and see which one it would perform the best.
Did you have the 3-wood too? Because I had a set. Did you take both or no?
No, I just had the drivers.
Okay.
The drivers. Mm-hmm. All right. So how I got to that point, I wanted to clarify three mistakes we had in last week's episode that I heard.
Arizona missions.
Yeah, there you go. That what you just said. I had called Steve Williams somebody, some other first name. I forget what I called him, but it wasn't his name instead of Steve, Tiger's old caddy, Steve Williams. I called him, I don't know, Charles Williams or something. I don't know.
Okay.
But I could fix that. The Tiger's mother, when we were talking about Tiger, mom calling Phil, she had a nickname for Phil. Yeah. She called him Hefty Lefty. That was the word I could remember last week. And I thank Rodney. He texted me with the correct pronunciation. And when we were talking about the black population in the United States, I think, Vern, you said it was like 11 million or something. We're actually 13.4.
Okay. I said 11%. I thought it was 11%. My bad.
Okay. Well, yeah, it was 13.4%.
4 million. Okay. Yeah. All right, cool.
All right. Well, there you go. So
those are the corrections from last week.
I don't think we've ever done that before, corrected mistakes. We usually just say whatever, and if it's right, it's right. It's wrong.
Nobody's checking us anyway.
Exactly.
I'm going to say anything quickly about, it's a no story, but about Ralph Lauren dropping Justin Thomas after he said the F word on the telecast. That's 2 weeks ago now.
We talked about it last week. You know what I mean? Not necessarily with Ralph Lauren, but I mean, we live in a cancel culture. You know what I mean? Good or bad or whatever, indifferent. I'm not like necessarily part of that. You know what I mean? But I mean, you expect it, I guess. You know what I mean? But we talked about sensitivities, I guess, with that. Because I'll start rambling off about the stuff, and then we'll be on here for 30 minutes. So anyone want to hear exactly what I was talking about regarding that, go back to the last episode and listen and listen to it.
At the beginning, yes.
But, yeah, I mean, anybody got any thoughts about Ralph? I mean,
I don't wear their product anyway, so it doesn't matter to me.
So
with this week, we do have the American Express tournament coming up at La Quinta, California, at the PGA West Stadium course. We got Phil Hefty Lefty with an old Hefty Lefty Phil playing. Brooks is supposed to play, come back out of wherever he's at. Mm-hmm. Patrick Reed, Patrick Cantlay, Tony Finau is coming back from his COVID, whatever he's going to play. And John Rahm did withdraw from this week's tournament. That's about it on that. I think
it's not just about it. Not mentioning your report is Ricky Fowler making a comeback, my 8-year-old son's favorite golfer, and so he's going to be glued to the TV to watch Ricky.
That was my question because I didn't see him in the field. So he is going to play.
He is going to play.
So
he'll be rooting for Ricky, who had a tough year last year. Apparently, there's something going on with him. There was this feature on him on the Golf Channel on one of their shows. They talked about that's how I knew he was playing. They were saying he's going to play, and they want to see if he can get some of that distance back. Last year, like, he lost almost 20 to 25 yards per drive, right off the tee box. Wow. Yeah, and have no clue. I do remember earlier in the year. I mean, he recently got married. He had some kind of illness or something early in the year. So maybe he just didn't fully recover, but he played okay when golf was making that comeback, because he was part of one of those matches when golf was making its comeback post-COVID raise some money, and he played fine in that. So, but, you know, I don't know. Who knows? It could be the illness. It could be the fact that he's a newlywed. Who knows what it is? Destroying his game? As we know in golf, the small things can tinker with your game and send it all to hell.
Absolutely.
Yeah, there we go. All right, folks, this is Golf DMV. Coach, thank you so much for joining us this week.
Coach.
Blessing us with your presence, man. This was fun. We got to do it again. Maybe now you'll listen to the show since we had you on.
Well, I mean, you know, just being on, thanks for having me. I love playing with you guys, and now getting a chance to kick it like the good fellows over here on the DMV podcast. We definitely going to make it happen moving forward.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. We didn't talk about the Vegas golf courses, though. We were supposed to talk about that.
I said he may get to some of these. Some of these he may not to.
Okay, so just let it go.
We're going to get you back on the show. And we're going to talk Vegas. Go. Oh, maybe when things open up, we can do. Because last time we went to Vegas, Paul Wilson, I don't think we recorded there. So next time we go, we can record and we can get coach and we can talk about Vegas golf, and we'll make sure we do that.
Absolutely. Thanks for having us, guys, and continued success.
Absolutely, guys. Go to golfdmv.com. Check out our sponsor, Cache Spine Sports, conveniently located in Silver Spring, Maryland. Folks, we'll be back next week.